Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Well, welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada, brought to you by Jelly Academy. We have the one, the only Guy Kawasaki here. He has come out with his 16th book, Think Remarkable, forward by Jane Goodall, which is awesome, of course, but more importantly, full of nuggets and goodies from his podcast, which as a podcast listener, you're listening to a podcast right now, you might be familiar with his podcast, Remarkable People. They glean the best and the brightest insights and put it together in this book. So, Guy, thank you for being here.
All right. You're too kind.
So, Guy, I want to start here. The last page of your book talks about the places you wrote this book, one of them being Olive Garden. Tell me about writing this book in an Olive Garden.
All questions to begin with. So, there's an Olive Garden about a mile from my house, and there's a humongous parking lot, so there's never any parking problems. It's a big restaurant, so there's never any problems with being seated. It has pretty good Wi-Fi. And let's just say that there's not a lot of tech bros hanging out in Olive Garden, so nobody knows who I am, and I can just work in peace. And I happen to love their salad. I happen to love their minestrone. I happen to love, but I no longer let them serve me breadsticks. And I sometimes just work there 2 or 3 hours. And, you know, I tell all my friends I love Olive Garden, and they all give me a lot of crap. And I'm like, what's your problem? I mean,
man, I love Olive Garden.
I would say, you know, a good 20% of the book was written in Olive Garden.
That is amazing. This page brought to you by Endless Salad. And would you like some cheese with that? So this is great. Guy, something that's really hot right now, and I want to talk about this as well, which I find fascinating, that you, there's a confession in this book. And I don't know if everyone's going to find it, and everyone reads the fine print of your book. This was not in a fine print, but it was regular font. It says, though some authors hide the fact that they use artificial intelligence, we have no such qualms. We used Bard, Claude, ChatGPT, and Quillbot. There is no doubt in our minds that they helped make it better. Tell me about that. What was that like? And I love that you threw that in here because it's a hot topic right now.
Okay. So at the very highest level, I feel that my moral obligation to someone who spends $28 for this book is that it is the best book that I can produce about this subject, which is different than saying this is the best book that I personally wrote with no author, no co-author, all by myself, not using Wikipedia, not using the internet. This is just my thoughts in a vacuum. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. So I think when a reader reads this book, they just want to know how to make a difference and be remarkable. And if ChatGPT gave me that idea, hallelujah. They're not saying, oh, I only want to be remarkable if it's only thoughts that came out of your brain, Guy. And I will tell you that as a business writer, there's very few things that are breaking new ground. We're all kind of circling around. And, you know, I quote Angela Duckworth, she quotes Bob Cialdini, I quote them both, you know, they quote, you know, it's... there's only so much good behavioral economics and social psychology. So I use every tool that I can. I mean, in a sense, should I feel guilty about using Grammarly? Should I feel guilty about using Word's built-in grammar checker? And if I were making a speech, you could say, I only want to hear a speech if Guy wrote every word by himself. Well, I hate to tell you, but most of the speeches you hear from politicians and CEOs, there's a speech writer, there's a speech writing team. Like Barack Obama had a speech writing team. I interviewed him for my podcast about what it's like to write a speech for Barack Obama. So, I mean, what's the difference between, that guy writing a speech for Barack Obama or Barack Obama using ChatGPT? I see no difference.
And this leads me into this then, graphic designers, business owners using Canva.
Yeah.
The supercharge, also, right?
Yeah, when you look at someone's marketing or some company's marketing, you never say to yourself, I only want to see marketing and graphics done with a rapidograph and a French curve not even a digital camera. It has to be an analog camera with film, using Fuji. Like, who cares? So that's my attitude. And I tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that ChatGPT made this book better, and it makes me a better writer. And I think of ChatGPT as an all-knowing, free, $20 a month, all-knowing, very inexpensive, 24/7/365, infinite patience, no judgment, research assistant. You find me a research assistant better than ChatGPT. I'd like to see that person.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, and I walk by sometimes. We have an in-house graphic designer at our agency, and she's using Canva sometimes. And she's like, "Darian, I'm going to get this done 20 times faster if I just do it in Canva. It doesn't always need to be Adobe every time."
I mean, what Canva does is it democratized design. Yeah. And what Macintosh did is it made people more creative and productive. And so, we can have a theoretical discussion, but that horse is outside of the corral already. Yeah. It's too late.
That's awesome. Okay, so with that out of the corral, I want to ask about this book. Brenda Uhland, journalist and teacher, author of If You Want to Write. You know this is the most influential book on your life. Tell me about what this book means. Yes. And should we still read it today? Is it still
Absolutely.
Relevant? Tell
so
me why.
The book is called If You Want to Write. Now, obviously, not everybody's a writer, but substitute any creative endeavor for that word write. So if you want to program, if you want to play music, if you want to take pictures, if you want to draw, if you want to write poetry, if you want to write rap, I mean, any creative thing, you could say even if you want to lead, even if you want to evangelize. So it's a book about, the gist of that book is if you want to write. Don't wait for external validation. She didn't want her writing students to think, I don't have a PhD in English, I cannot write. So the bottom line is, if you want to write, and don't listen to the negativity. And much of the negativity can come from your own brain, right? I cannot be a writer because I don't have a PhD in English and I haven't taken a creative writing course. Well, most writers haven't.
Well, that's amazing. So this book breaks How to Be Remarkable down into 9 segments, which are really 3 segments, so 3x3. Tell us about those high-level 3 segments.
Yes. The high-level 3 are growth, grit, and grace. And I love tricolons, and I love alliteration. And I not only love alliteration, I love alliteration that's the first 2 letters, which just shows you how remarkable this book is. So growth, grit, and grace. Growth is the theories of Carol Dweck, how you can either have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset means you don't think you can learn new skills. You don't think you can, achieve new results. A growth mindset means you're going to try stuff. You're going to take risks. You're going to make yourself vulnerable. Grit Now, you can have a growth mindset, but if you have a growth mindset, you still need grit, because nothing that you try when you first try it is going to be easy. And a lot of people with a fixed mindset, you know, and let's say they're successful. So they have this fixed mindset. I'm a freaking genius in mathematics. And so then take an extreme. You try ice hockey. So you try ice hockey and you cannot skate. You cannot do anything. So you think, I must not be a natural. Ice hockey isn't for me. Well, you know, ice hockey is hard. It's hard to learn how to skate. So you're going to fail. I mean, that's just the way it is. So get over yourself. And that takes grit. And then the final section is grace and graciousness, which is to say that my theory is the first third of your life are overworked and underpaid. The second third of your life, you're underworked and overpaid. And then the third third of your life, what should be is you are paying back. So the third section is about paying back.
It's amazing. You don't often see the word grace in a business book. So
No, you don't. No. I mean, You know, if you look at the business books, you know, there's a Elon Musk autobiography, right? And then there's Kara Swisher's Burn, and not a lot of grace and graciousness in those books. And I really mean this as a book that a parent, a teacher, a coach, a mentor would buy for young people. And I'm trying to put myself, you know, like, would I buy my kids the Elon Musk biography? I don't think so. I mean, what am I telling them? Yeah, go be the next Elon Musk. I don't think so.
Yeah. In this book, it's for everyone, you know, and you know, the fact that you bring it down to anyone can have growth. Anyone can show grit and anyone can show grace. It's
pretty accessible. You know, in a perfect world, people would read the four agreements and this book. Right. So if you've heard of the four agreements, it's this book about values and, you know, what you can do and sort of the moralities. And there is a section about morality and all that, but really this is about how to make a difference. Because I believe if you make a difference, people will have no choice but to consider yourself remarkable. That's how it works. You do something good, you get considered remarkable.
Amazing. I'm going to do this interview in three sections, we could say. I'm going to start in the grow area. You tell this amazing story about the day, I want to say, I don't know if I'm saying it, Lee Clow, is that right? From Apple's advertising agency came in and presented the Think Different campaign to Steve Jobs. What was it like being in that room and what was that presentation like?
You know, when I was in that room, of course, any room with Steve Jobs in it, it's going to be exciting, right? For better or for worse.
And this is 1997, right?
This is 1997 when the Think Different campaign, this is the campaign that featured Picasso and Amelia Earhart and Richard Branson and Albert Einstein. Because back in 1997, if you used a Macintosh, you were thinking different.
Yeah.
Because everybody else was thinking the same. Windows, you know, IBM PC. So Lee Clow from the advertising agency of Apple, he shows the Think Different campaign, and we all love it because, you know, it speaks to us. We are thinking different. I mean, we're drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, for crying out loud, we work for the Kool-Aid company, much less just use a Macintosh. And at the end, Lee Clow says to Steve, you know, I have two copies of these commercials. I'll give one to you and one to Guy. And Steve tells Lee, don't give one to Guy. Just give one to me. And I said, I spoke up. I said, Steve, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? And then Steve, as only Steve would do, he said, no, Guy, I don't trust you. And then this is one of those, you know, man or mouse moments. This is one of those moments you look back and you say, God, I just wimped out. Or you say, I went for it. So I went for it. And I said, that's okay, Steve, because I don't trust you either. So probably cost me tens of millions of dollars in options, but you know, now I have a great story.
That's a great story. Oh man. And being there in that world and then going on to do the other work you're doing, how do you see it and mark people who are growing, and what does a growth mindset look like? And when in the interviews that you do?
Well, the growth mindset means that you have an intellectual curiosity and that you are willing to try things. You don't think you're perfect. You also don't think you're a total loss, right? If you think you're a total loss, you don't try anything new. If you think you're perfect, you think, I don't need to try anything new. And basically, the outcome is the same for both of those. And the two examples, especially because I'm talking to a Canadian here, is that I took up ice hockey at 44. So that's about 40 years too late to learn to skate. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. You know, there's not a lot of pond hockey in Honolulu. We have shave ice, but that's it. You know, that's like the thing that comes at the thing that the Zamboni scoops up. That's what we eat in Hawaii. So I took up hockey and I just loved it at 44. And then at 60, I took up surfing, which is about 55 years too late. And that's the growth mindset. You know, most people at 60, they're watching CNN, right? Or they're watching Fox, or, you know, they're not exactly out there being vulnerable in the ocean. But that's me. I mean, I have a growth mindset.
That is awesome. And with that, you talk, and one of my favorite sections of the book is where you talk about mentors, and you actually have photos of people with their mentors. You talk about the importance of mentorship. Why? Why is mentorship so crucial?
Well, mentorship is so crucial because it's about mistake avoidance, I think, more than optimization. I think that's the primary role of mentors, you know, like where they help you course correct, or they course correct you as opposed to optimize you. And they're you know, if you know football, James Brown was arguably the best running back in NFL history, and you know, Ronnie Lott, arguably the best safety in NFL history. Ronnie Lott looks at James Brown as his mentor. And this is not just in athletics. This is in business, and it's all over the place. Mark Benioff, who started Salesforce, he had a mentor on the Apple board named Henry Singleton. And, you know, it goes on and on. So there's a whole section about how to find a mentor, how to approach a mentor, how to use a mentor.
It's amazing. And those that are listening, right, we have a program in Canada called Raising Voices, where you can mentor those who are Indigenous in Canada, Native American in the U.S., who are Indigenous in Canada, who are in marketing looking for a mentor. What are the benefits of being a mentor, those in that position where they can give back?
Well, you said, what are the benefits of being a mentor, not a mentee, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I will make the case that when you are a mentor, you are also learning. And I think there's a theory that, you know, if you want to be a better surfer, better ice hockey player, you know, coaching people who are not as good as you is very helpful. Because if you coach people who are just as good as you or better, you might not learn as much because they make it look so easy, right? But if you coach beginners, you truly understand more about the game or the subject. So I think that's a, you know, it's a double benefit. It's obviously the mentee improves his or her skills, but the mentor also does that. And if you have a mentor who's helping you to learn how to sell stuff, I bet you that salesperson is learning how to sell stuff better, helping someone who doesn't know how to sell stuff.
That's great. That's a great challenge. And yeah, and it's, what, an hour a month, maybe a half hour a month to check in with someone, open up doors.
It's that. And maybe virtual, you don't, there's like so efficient.
And on that, I want to talk about Digital Nest. It's the most amazing thing. I've learned about it through your book. You're helping people that normally go into jobs in agriculture get jobs in tech. Tell me about this and what this organization means to you.
This is a not-for-profit organization in Watsonville, California. Watsonville, California is kind of the strawberry capital. And so many of those families, Hispanic families, they're in agriculture. I mean, so they're picking strawberries all day in the field, and usually their kids would have done that. But this is an alternative for their kids to learn digital skills. So to get out of the fields and have a career alternative, which I think is just great, because I happen to believe that intelligence and capability is kind of evenly distributed across races. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you're Mexican, you got to be in agriculture, and, you know, you're white, you got to be an investment banker. I don't believe that bullshit at all. So I think that there are societal barriers that make some of that stereotype stick, but Digital Nest and other organizations, they're breaking down those stereotypes and barriers.
It's amazing. That is incredible. And what are some of the results? What are you seeing? Are people getting jobs? Are they?
So the Digital Nest graduates, I mean, they're working for Silicon Valley companies over the hill, and they're making more than they would be picking strawberries. I guarantee you that. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And for someone who started that program, who created it, what was it like for them? And as you watched them, or as they're running this program, what are the struggles you see?
I am a supporter of Digital Nest. Yeah. I didn't create that.
No, exactly. But the guy who runs it, or the girl who runs it, whoever's running it right now, what do you watch in the way they act and the way they are as a person?
Well, I mean, they're expanding, right? So they started in Watsonville, then they moved to a neighboring city called Salinas, and then another one was 3 hours away called Modesto. And, you know, they're looking for places where kids are kind of trapped in a track, right? An agricultural track. And they want to help these kids have alternatives, which is, you know, that's a very noble thing.
It's incredible. I love this quote here in the afterword. A remarkable individual is someone who has committed to an outcome in spite of the odds or the circumstances.
That's grit.
Yeah. So that's the grit. So tell me about grit and ways that, can you grow grit? Can you create it? How do you nurture grit in one's life?
Yeah. Well, listen, it's not as simple as you wake up one day and you say, I'm going to be gritty, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to first come to grips with that. If you want a growth mindset, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. I mean, if you take up hockey or surfing at such an age, you know, you have to be willing to get injured. And I think that's true even if of intellectual things, you have to be vulnerable. Now, grit means that, you know, you keep coming back. I mean, I swear to God, half of success in careers is you keep showing up, because a lot of people don't keep showing up. And so just showing up is about 80% of it. And then, you know, think about how you can make yourself indispensable. So you do all the, you keep showing up, and then you do all the crap that nobody else wants to do. And pretty soon you're indispensable. And then guess what? The indispensable people, they get promoted and they get other opportunities. I mean, that's just how it is. And listen, I know everybody wants to work and, you know, be in Bali and work only 2 hours and telecommute and all that. But listen, that's a great theory, but if you want to be remarkable, I hate to tell you, you have to pay the price.
It's amazing. So Canadians who want to buy this book, it is $33.99 Canadian, which is great. You get on Amazon, get at your local bookstore, Indigo up here, which is lovely. One of the things I love about this book, this is your 16th book, Guy, but one of the greatest things I love about it is that it's, you introduced me to all these people. It's like, I'm almost at the guy, I'm at a party at your house and you're like, Darian, you're like, come to my house. And then you're like, hey, meet all these cool people I know. And you walk around your house to different rooms and you're like, meet this person. Look what this guy's doing. So I find that fascinating. And I want to highlight two people that you profile in your book. Ginny, I'm going to say Ramati, the first female CEO of IBM, advocate for diversity and inclusion in the tech industry. She was also a guest on your show. So tell me about her and why we need to know this friend of yours.
I mean, she started as like some low-ranking engineer and I don't know, it took 25 years, but she became the first CEO, female CEO of IBM. And, you know, one of her big things was that we shouldn't require college degrees when they really don't need college degrees. I mean, and this is IBM. We're not talking about, you know, some dry cleaner saying, okay, we're going to reduce a college degree requirement for working at our dry cleaning store. This is IBM. So that, and she's just an inspiring story that even in a large tech company, the top of the pyramid can be female.
It's amazing. And I want to talk about that because you went to some pretty prestigious schools. You went to Stanford University, you got an MBA from UCLA, you have an honorary doctorate, Babson College. So you know, schools still exist. They'll continue to exist. They have endowments that ensure that these castles will always be there. But tell me about these ways that people are, you know, through Digital Nest, through what IBM is doing when they're breaking barriers. Why is this crucial for the tech industry?
Well, it's crucial for them because not everybody can afford to go to college, right? I mean, in time or money. And I think people need to stop believing that college is necessary or sufficient to succeed. You can succeed without college. Now, having said that, I will tell you, though, that I really believe that if you can afford it and if you have the time, by all means, go to college. It's just four more years of opening your eyes to what's happening in the world and broaden your horizon. So I'm not anti-college. I'm just saying that it's not the only path.
That's awesome.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I want to talk about another guest that was on your show. Okay. And I don't know if everyone knows who this is unless they have children or are big fans of Macaulay Culkin and his show Home Alone. But Mark Rober, inventor, STEM evangelist, NASA scientist, YouTuber, probably one of my favorite YouTubers. I love every time out of his the porch pirate videos. Like, he's brilliant and he teaches kids. I have four children, so I love watching it with my children. Because I feel like we learn something every time. Tell me about him and why we need to know this remarkable person.
So Mark Rober is, he started his career literally as a rocket scientist working for NASA. After NASA, he went to the Apple sort of secret super duper innovation. And then he became so popular, starting with a YouTube video where iPads were faking as if you could look through his body. And pretty soon he had 10 million followers, and Apple can't deal with one employee having more followers than the company or the CEO. So he left Apple, and he's now a full-time YouTuber. And he's the guy who made the exploding and the fart bombs for people who stole packages, as well as the Squirrel Olympics. And he views himself not as, just trying to make funny videos, but he's trying to evangelize STEM and make science. He's like Mr. Science for Gen Z.
Yeah. He's the new, what was the guy? Bill Nye. He's the new Bill Nye. Science
That's
guy.
Right. He's Bill Nye for Gen Z.
Awesome. And Crunch Labs, they put out these little boxes and you can actually get a engineer box to think like an engineer in your house. Don't worry. This episode is not brought to you by Crunch Labs in any way. I just... love what he does. And this is unique. One of my favorite authors, there's actually an audio enhanced version of this, the Narnia series. You talk about C.S. Lewis. Why C.S. Lewis? How did he end up in a book like this?
I don't know. It's interesting for now that I've written 16 books.
Yeah.
One of the parts of the process that I enjoy the most is finding these, I forget if it's called epigram or epigraph, but at the start of every chapter, there's a quote.
Yes.
Sometimes it's by C.S. Lewis. Yeah. The first chapter in the book, I've quoted my son. I've quoted, people not at all related to tech. The first quote is by Anne Frank.
Anne Frank, yeah. What a wonderful thought it is that some of the best days of our lives haven't happened yet.
That's right. Beautiful. And that's Anne Frank saying that, right? That's not like Elon Musk saying that. That's Anne Frank saying that. And so C.S. Lewis is, I take special joy out of taking someone like C.S. Lewis, who is, you know, he's probably not in any business book, and putting them in mine, because this is not a business book per se. This is a book about how to make a difference, and you can make a difference in many ways. It doesn't have to be business.
It's incredible. Yeah. And I love all the different examples you give, which is pretty, pretty amazing.
Well, if you love those examples, you have to understand ChatGPT helped me find them.
That is amazing. Okay. Those that are maybe saying, hey, man, I'm still struggling with that growth mindset part. Carol Dweck, mother of the growth mindset, professor of psychology at Stanford University, author of Mindset. Tell me about this book and why it's so important.
It's so important. Well, personally, it's so important that it made me try hockey and surfing. I mean,
right. That was the book, because you say it's the second most influential book on your life.
Well, the first most important book we talked about, if you want to write. The second most important was, you know, I read her book, and I was like, you know what? She's right. You either believe you can gain new skills or you don't. And if you don't, you ain't. Mm-hmm. So, and she has become a very good friend. And, and I'll give you a fine point on the growth mindset that I discovered after I wrote this book. She has a protege named Mary Murphy. And Mary Murphy brought up to Carol the point that, you know, the growth mindset is inside people's heads, right? Like, you either think you're growth or you're fixed. But it's also important what kind of environment you're in. Because if you have a growth mindset and you're stuck in a fixed environment, guess what? They're not going to let you advance, right? And so she raises this very good point that it's important that you know what kind of environment you're getting into. And when I revise the book, I want to put that in. I think that's very important.
That's a very, very important point. And it brings us to grace and showing grace and being able to have room for grace and especially grace for yourself. Like, how about you personally? You give some great examples, some great ideas, this amazing thing called grace. What does it mean to you? How do you nurture that? How do you think of like a
grace,
garden?
Yeah. You know, it comes with age. And at some point you realize that, you know, what do you want to be remembered for? Right? For buying Ferraris, or, you know, did you make a difference? And how did you make a difference? So, you know, when I die, I hope people say that I helped them make a difference with my writing, my speaking, my investing, my advising, you know, my podcasting. And that's that, as opposed to what, right? As opposed to, oh, I was a billionaire and I made the president of Harvard resign because I accused her of plagiarism. Yeah, like, that's what I want to be remembered for. I don't think so, right? So, and I think the person who embodies grace the best is Jane Goodall. So she's an extremely gracious person. Melanie Perkins, the CEO of Canva, is also a very good example of a gracious person. I mean, she's kind of proof that you don't need to be an asshole to be a successful tech CEO.
And they're out of Australia, correct?
Yes, Sydney.
Okay, yeah, that's incredible. And Canva doesn't seem to be slowing down. Everywhere we go,
Canva is on a roll, yes.
It's amazing. Every small business owner, micro business owner, agency, brand side, everyone's using it these days to kind of advance themselves.
I mean, you know, like, I've evangelized Canva for 10 years, and the fundamental value proposition is, if you want to communicate better, you have to use graphics, right? That's just the way it is. Yeah. And that was even before generative AI. Now with generative AI, it gets even more interesting. So, I make a lot of speeches. I make my own presentations. I use the Canva 16x9 template.
Yep.
And in my circumstance, I have to give a file to somebody sitting at the back of the room, yeah. right? So I'm not presenting off my own laptop with a guarantee of internet access. So I have to give them a file, and Canva exports to PowerPoint.
Yeah.
It also reads in PowerPoint, but it exports to PowerPoint. So you have the tools and the beauty and the resources like clip art and, you know, other kinds of objects to make a great presentation. And the last step is export to PowerPoint and you're good to go. I mean, you cannot make a presentation as beautiful in PowerPoint as you can in Canva. It's yeah. not even close.
And when you do speeches these days, you're all virtual. Is that correct? No more travel?
I am slowly getting back into in-person speeches.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, but I got so used to not traveling. And I,
yeah.
for years, I made 50, 75 yeah. trips a year. And yeah. If I never get on an airplane except to go to Hawaii, I would yeah. be fine with that. I yeah. am coming to Vancouver in okay. April.
That's what I was going to ask. Innovate West, right? You will be yeah. there in person.
I'll be there in person, live on the stage at Innovate West.
That is amazing. Those that haven't heard yet, we'll put the info in the
okay.
bio there.
Okay.
I will be there. It's
oh, down
the street. It's down the street from my house. I will be also doing
oh, you're
a
in Vancouver.
Yeah, I'll be doing a panel that day that you are speaking.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's great. I'm going to send you one more thing before I forget. So
yeah.
since you are such a Canva lover,
yes,
I put in the chat a link to a Canva course that we just completed.
Oh, get out. Oh, that's
amazing. So this is a course about how to be remarkable. It's not a course about the book.
Yeah.
This is a course about how to be remarkable. So obviously yeah. there's similarities, but this yeah. is not like, you know, chapter one, chapter two. This yeah, is yeah. the quiz. This is from scratch done. And it has interviews with Carol Dweck in it, Angela wow. Duckworth in it. It wow. even has Mark Rober in it. Mark
oh,
Rober and I were at South by Southwest. And
yeah.
I recorded him on stage.
It's amazing. And these are 9 chapters actually in that course. This is amazing.
Yeah, I'm OCD that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's really, really, really cool. Oh, man. Can I assume I can share this publicly, put in the show notes and share with people right now? It's open.
You it's can ready to show it as far and wide as you can.
Amazing. So if you even want an amuse-bouche book in lesson education form, here it is. Or if you are more of a traditional book person, pick up Think Remarkable at your local bookstore, Indigo Chapters. Or your local bookstore. Guy, are you ready for the rapid fire? Do you feel ready for some?
I love rapid fire questions.
Amazing.
Fire away.
What was your first ever job?
First ever job, I was a truck driver's helper delivering prefabricated parts for houses, to build houses.
Wow, amazing. Night owl or early bird?
Both.
Nice. Are you a napper then? Do you nap? Do you nap during the day to keep that
no.
going? No. Okay. No. Not even a napper. Okay. Cat or dog person?
Dog.
Okay. What was the first thing you ever marketed in your life?
First thing I ever marketed, fine jewelry.
Okay. Dark or milk chocolate?
Milk.
Last charity you supported financially or with your time, and why? Last charity or nonprofit.
Oh,
I guess you'd call it. Yeah,
Digital Nest.
Digital Nest. Okay, let's make sure we put a link in the show notes as well, because it'd be great
yeah,
for people
please.
To learn about it. Do they have plans to come to Canada yet? Have you heard any rumors about coming north?
Oh, Digital Nest coming to Canada?
Yeah. Not yet.
No, you know, they might go to Hawaii, though. Yeah.
Yes. That's great. That's great. What's a movie that you just love, you could watch over and over again?
There's a surfing movie called North Shore.
Nice.
surfers will know what I'm talking about. This is a cult Hawaiian surf movie.
Yeah, amazing. Your current favorite song or album on repeat right now?
Oh man, you know, listen, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm deaf, and because I'm deaf, I use a cochlear implant. So let's just say that music does not sound at all like intended by the artist. So I never listen to music, honestly. I'm a big public radio person. So if I'm in my car, I'm listening to public radio. I'm not listening to music because music can actually be kind of painful and irritating.
Okay, that's good. So a little NPR, is that what you have down in the States? Is that what it's the public radio, or is it different in every state? Is it NPR?
It's different in every city, I think.
But okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We have just CBC in Canada is our public radio. So every...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool.
No, this is different. Every place is different.
Okay. What's an app on your phone you can't live without?
WhatsApp.
Okay. that's great. Favorite children's book?
Good Night Moon.
Nice. Best thing you ever bought for under $10?
Best thing I ever bought for under $10. What can you buy for under $10 anymore? Okay, there's a Portuguese donut. It's called malasadas, M-A-L-A-S-A-D-A-S. Mm-hmm. It's basically sugar, fat, and simple carbs.
Perfect.
It's the best thing you can buy for under $10 in Hawaii.
That is awesome. That is amazing.
It's like Tim Hortons on steroids.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. What is the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
Quitting law school.
Yeah.
I quit law school after 2 weeks. And although you could make the case that I quit Apple twice, that was pretty stupid.
Man, podcasts that you subscribe to or that you have on the regular? I know you might have a few, or any ones that you want to highlight right now?
I listen to Freakonomics.
Yeah.
Stephen Dubner. And Angela Duckworth has a show on Freakonomics too.
Yeah, it's amazing. Skills required for this new economy. What do you look for that people should look for in new hires and what they have?
The ability to write prompts.
That is awesome.
How a graduate said, you know, he was told plastics. It's prompts, though. It's prompts. Prompts are the key.
It's amazing. You have 16 books. I know you can't say you have a favorite, but any of your previous books that you would highlight after someone picks up Think Remarkable, any books that you're saying,
an entrepreneur, for sure. Yeah. The Art of the Start 2.0 basically covers everything you need to know to be an entrepreneur. I would say the difference between The Art of the Start 2.0 and Think Remarkable is Think Remarkable is much more generally applicable to, you know, the entire population for their entire lives. Whereas The Art of the Start 2.0 is for that first year or two when you start a company.
Yeah. Okay. Remarkable people, how do you find the next guest? What can we look forward to in this next season?
A lot of it is we get pitched now because lots of authors love to be on Remarkable People. So, you know, we turn down 10 people a day for our podcast. And it's harder to get into our podcast than to get into Stanford or Harvard. We figured out.
So what do you look for? Not to say that, you know, this is the trick, but I'm like, what do you look for when you
You know, that is definitely witchcraft, because it's not as simple as, you know, we look at you and the podcast is called Remarkable People, not rich people, not famous people.
Yeah.
So I tell you, the people that I very seldom take, it's like, you know, Joe Blow from Blow Consulting, he has written a book called Blow Away, and he's 25 years old, and he has already created a 7-digit consulting firm on how to sell in the new millennium. And, you know, he'd love to be on your podcast. And because he thinks he could add value, just like Jane Goodall and Stacey Abrams and Neil deGrasse Tyson and Steve Wozniak. And I tell you something, it takes every ounce of self-control not to say to him, in what universe do you consider yourself as remarkable as Jane Goodall? Like, give me a freaking break. I mean, but anyway, I digress. No.
Now, can you give a sneak peek of people the next season, or people that are maybe you've interviewed are in the can, or we can get excited about that are coming up on the show? Or any guests you're looking forward that you hope will come on the show one day?
Well, if you're a surfer, we have Jerry Lopez coming. Jerry Lopez is the world famous surfer for the Banzai Pipeline, very famous surfer. And you know what? Listen, don't get me wrong, but if Michelle Obama said, I want to be in your podcast, obviously we would take her, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if Wayne Gretzky said, I want to be your podcast, we'd take him, right?
Yeah.
This is not a podcast for the rich and the famous.
No.
And a lot of people, no one will have heard of them because, well, frankly, they just served 22 years in prison and they've been out 5 years and now they're a remarkable artist. So you wouldn't have heard of him. And I get greater joy out of bringing those kind of people to life, right?
That's Haleem Flowers, correct?
That's Haleem Flowers. You can see his painting on the dust jacket, him.
Yeah, the Think Remarkable piece. It's beautiful. It's amazing. So people, and they just come to you.
It's going to be worth $110 million.
so you're relying a lot on like serendipity, that meeting that just happens by chance, and you or someone tells you. Probably other guests tell you about other people.
All the time. Yeah. Angela Duckworth and this woman named Katie Milkman, who is kind of the next Bob Cialdini, I hope I just dropped names that you recognize there. But so Bob Cialdini is the father of influence. He wrote the book Influence. So Katie Milkman and Angela Duckworth and Carol Dweck, they're always telling me, okay, so now you got to put Mary Murphy on. She's my protege. She talks about the role of the environment in the growth mindset. And then, Angela and Katie are telling me, listen, you got to get this professor from UC San Diego because he's an expert in compensation. And it just goes on and on. So once you get into the groove, you get 10 requests a day.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to give you someone I love. And this is, I'm saying this as a Canadian, loving what's happening in the States. It's a group called Creative Ladder. So a fellow Canadian, actually from Vancouver, Ryan Reynolds and his amazing wife, Blake, helped fund it, get it started. And they are helping people who, again, not represented in advertising, because Ryan actually got into the ad business, started an ad agency, and realized it was very white. And so he started Creative Ladder to give an opportunity for underrepresented people to get into it. So he's got a badass team running that out of the USA. So I love what they're doing. But I'll send you her info. I think she's remarkable, but no one's heard of her. So, and Ryan's been great because he's kind of stepped in the back and just said, hey, we've seeded it, we funded it, but he's let this amazing leadership team kind of take it over and run,
Your word means a lot. And I think the only Canadian I have so far, well, I have two. I have the founder of Lululemon, which,
Chippy. Good old Chip.
Is right.
Yeah. And you've had Margaret Atwood. And Margaret, right?
I have Margaret Atwood.
Oh.
And soon I will have Amber MacArthur.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah. Hey, so fun fact, Guy, when you're in Vancouver, I don't know if you're staying, I assume, a downtown hotel to put you in the Hyatt or Fairmont, maybe a Fairmont. You should get for the Fairmont. They're beautiful.
I hope.
Okay. It's a great Canadian brand. Chip Wilson runs the Grouse Grind every morning. So if you are an entrepreneur or just someone who's into Chip, I guess you could run the Grouse Grind and you could run beside him. And
wait, what is a Grouse Grind?
So it was a mountain called Grouse Mountain where there was a staircase they built and you can run up it and then you can take the gondola down. So it's a beautiful kind of nice little hike in the morning. But it's just fun facts about Chip Wilson if you are a local Vancouverite.
I'm going to have to tell Chip I'm coming. So
yes. Yeah. No, tell him I heard I could run the Grouse Grind with you in the morning, and for him to bring you a pair of ABC pants, which I don't know if you've discovered them yet.
Pants?
Oh, they're life-changing. I just discovered them this last year. They're called like anti-ball crushers, but they're their most famous product for men. They're the most comfortable pants. because they look good, but then they're flexible. So they're dress pants, but they're also like stretchy material and they never get dirty.
So they're the Lululemon of dress pants.
For men. Yes. Yes. So okay. ABC pants. Yes.
All right. I'll ask them. I was just going to ask them for an Arc'teryx jacket. But now
There you go. No, I'm trying. All right. Okay. Guy, this has been really a pleasure to have you back on the show. Part two, second time on the show. And it's meant a lot.
I hope everybody looks into that book or the course, because I just want to be remembered for empowering people. Okay.
It's incredible. And I think your encouragement and advice to mentor, not only to mentor, but to seek out a mentor. I think that if at the very least, the section here, we have a lot of students who listen to the show and marketing professors, find that mentor, and mentors say yes, you know, do something maybe uncomfortable. You know, Guy took up, if you're like feeling uncomfortable, think of Guy going on the hockey rink for the first time. If you're like, I can't mentor someone, I've never met an indigenous person. I don't know what they're like. So maybe this is your ice hockey, your guy's ice hockey. So that would be my encouragement.
When I started ice hockey, I literally did not know you're supposed to sharpen your skates before you go on the ice. That's what the growth mindset means.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on this episode of Marketing News Canada, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.